Thank you so much for allowing me to share the word of the Lord with you today. So excited to teach to you from Scripture. I want to tell you, God loves you. He's for you. He cares so much about you. I want to open in prayer. Lord, I pray you bless our time together. Bless our churches. We're scattered throughout the community in our homes and different places. Lord, that you would move in power in our church today in Hope Springs. God, I pray that you would do powerful things throughout our community today. And Lord, we love you and we praise you. We pray that you'd be high and lifted up in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to be in Mark chapter 7 today. If you want to get your Bible and walk along through me in the Word, or with me in the Word today. But Mark chapter 7, and while you're turning there, I want to share with you a little bit about what I feel led to talk about today. And the title of my message is The Light of Covenant Love. And really, I want for us as a church to zero in on the difference between the light of covenant love versus the shadow of solicitation. You know, here are two things on polar opposites. Covenant love, this love that's real and that really cares about the other person, and solicitation, which is just trying to really get something for yourself. Solicitation is a request or petition intended to obtain something for one's own benefit, and it's really the opposite of covenant. And so let's look at that theme as we walk through this section of Scripture today. I want you to be asking the question, who is Jesus? What's his nature? What's his character? What's he really like? Who is this Jesus? And so let's look at this concept of covenant today in Mark chapter 7 and verse 31. Jesus left Tyre and went up to Sidon before going back to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Ten Towns, the Decapolis. As a deaf man with a speech impediment was brought to him, and the people begged Jesus, a deaf man with a speech impediment was brought to Jesus, and the people begged Jesus to lay his hands on the man and to heal him. And so here's Jesus. He's moving primarily through an area that's primarily Gentile, and they have heard of his healing power, possibly most likely from the man who was formerly the Gadarene demoniac, this one that Jesus set free, who went back to the Ten Towns and began to spread the fame of Jesus, to spread this person Jesus really was. And let's continue to think about, who is this Jesus? But remember, Jesus is moving through an area that's primarily Gentile. They've heard of his healing power. They've found someone who's in desperate need of the Lord's help. And here's what the Lord does in verse 33. There's no solicitation here. It's not a request or petition intended to obtain something for one's own benefit. Jesus has nothing to do with that. He ministers out of love and out of true love for the other person. And so in verse 33, Jesus led him away from the crowd so they could be alone. He led this person, picture this person, and Jesus led this person to a place of privacy, to a place of safety. Jesus is not showy at all. You know, he's not seeking his own fame or notoriety. He has real, genuine covenant love for this person. And so again, Jesus led him away from the crowd so they could be alone. He put his fingers into the man's ears, then spitting on his own fingers, he touched the man's tongue. Wow, you don't read this every day in Scripture, do you? Then spitting on his fingers, he touched the man's tongue. You know, Jack Hayford says that the touch and the spittle represent Jesus' own life, which was the source of healing in this story. Jesus touches him with his own life. You know, I'm going to share my health. I'm going to share my life, my touch that I carry with me always, my spittle that's a part of me. I'm going to share my life with you. And it's a kind of a symbolism of what would happen later upon the cross, where Jesus would give his very life. He would shed his very own blood to set us free, to save us on the cross. And I want to ask you today, have you placed your faith in Jesus? You know, he lived the life that we should have lived, and he died the death that we should have died, in order that we could have a relationship with the Father, in order that we could enjoy his relationship with God the Father. And we can receive that through a relationship with Abba Father through Jesus and what he's done for us on the cross. And so if you'd like to become a child of God, if you'd like to become a Christian, all you need to do is to pray sincerely from your own heart, Lord Jesus, I receive your work on the cross. I pray that you would forgive me of my sins. I want to follow you. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lead me forward. Be the leader of my life. And if you pray that with sincerity, Jesus will make you a child of God through what he's done on the cross. He took your sins on the cross and died in your place. And he offers you his life, his very life, through the cross. And so I challenge you, give your life to Jesus. What better time to do than to do it today? He loves you more than any other. He loves you. He not only created you, but he gave his life for you, and he has a plan for you moving forward. And so the touch and the spittle represent Jesus's own life, which was the source of healing for this man. And verse 34 through 35, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, Ephphatha, which means be opened. And instantly the man could hear perfectly, and his tongue was freed so that he could speak plainly. You know, this is incredible. You know, Jesus, I love how the Message translation puts this. Then Jesus looked up in prayer, groaned mightily, and commanded Ephphatha, open up. And it happened. I love that. You know, this is the first deaf person healed in the Gospel of Mark. And there's this incredible groan. You know, then Jesus looked up in prayer and groaned mightily. Now think about this groan. Was it from the effort of healing? Like a mighty weightlifter trying to raise up under the weight? Was it a groan like a weightlifter just under the effort of the healing? The effort that it took, was it heartache? Was it this groan over heartache over the very state of the world and the fallenness of the world and the disease and the sickness all over? Was that the type of groan that it was? Or was it a deep heartfelt prayer? Was it a deep heartfelt prayer? And probably the answer is a little bit of all of those things. But again, we have a window into the emotional life of Jesus, into his emotions. From the very core of who he is, I think it's mostly a prayer, but from the very core of who he is, a prayer is offered that's too deep for words. A prayer is offered that's too deep for words. And so Jesus, in this groan, he has this idea. I'm sure part of what we're reading here is this idea of fallenness. You know, we live in a fallen world. And when I talk about fallenness, I talk about the distance between the way God created the world and he made it very good with no flaws, no evil, no sickness, no pain, no cancer, no death, no COVID-19, nothing evil at all, and to where we are today. And that's what theologians call fallenness. You know, it's the distance between the way God created the world and where we are now because of the sin of Adam and Eve and the curse that entered the world through sin, and now and the effects of sin down through the ages to the world that we're at today. That's what we mean by fallenness. And this groan part of it, I believe, was because of the fallenness that Jesus was seeing as he walked through our world. And so I want to encourage you today. And I want to remind you that all throughout the world, people are suffering. And all throughout the ages, people have been suffering since sin happened in the Garden of Eden, since the curse entered the world, since we gave place to the enemy in our world. And that's when these evil things began. And I want to encourage you today that, you know, there's still hope. There's hope. There's power available to us as believers, but the real breakthrough is going to happen at the end of the age. when Jesus assumes the throne, not only on heaven, but on earth as well. And so until then, there is fallenness in this world. There are evil things happening all over the world today, just terrible things. And that's not just today, it's been down through the ages. And I want to just cite a few references to you of different plagues throughout history. Even in the early church faced plagues and various epidemics, pandemics, very evil bouts with sickness. And so I want to mention one plague to you, the Antonine Plague, which happened between the years of 166 AD and 172 AD, and the Plague of Cyprian from 251 to 270. And some say these various plagues, one was smallpox and the others measles. We can't know for sure, but those are guesses from some scholars. But what we do know is that well over a million people died throughout the Roman Empire, and many more were seriously ill. Think of a time with poor hygiene and little medicine, a very dark time, and even many Christians died in that time. Historian Alan Crider tells us. And so here's what we do know. We live in a fallen world. There's evil all around us. Things won't be right until the King of Kings returns and sets up his throne upon the earth. But here's what we do know. God hasn't left us alone. He sent us his precious Spirit. He's given us one another. We know this from Scripture. He'll take what the enemy meant for harm and he'll use it for good. He'll take the very things that the enemy meant for harm, and God will use those things for good. God will bring breakthrough. And so I want to say this from the bottom of my heart, just as Jesus groaned, in prayer, as he groaned, and that groan even brought healing. I want to say this from the depths of my soul, that God is not the source of this virus. The enemy, ultimately, Jesus told us, came to steal, kill, and destroy. And wherever you see that triad, you know that the enemy's been there. And his plan is not the same. He hates people because we carry the image of God. We're made in the image of God. Jesus said, the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Jesus came the first time to get rid of our sin problems so that we can receive his forgiveness, his grace, his cleansing upon the cross, so that we can be healed spiritually. He's coming again to make all things new. He's coming again to set the world straight, to get rid of famine, disease, sickness, sin, every threat of the enemy, to put the enemy down. And so God is not the source of this virus. He's not the source of your pain. The enemy is the source of all evil. And God has your good in mind. Ephesians 6:13 says it this way, therefore put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Therefore put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And these are evil days in which we live, and we need to be covered in the armor of God, and it's God's armor. And how do we get God's armor? We get close to God. We ask him to cover us. Put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And then after the battle, the scriptures say, then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. You know, I love that. Peter said it this way, 1 Peter 5:8, stay alert. You know, God is speaking to the church right now. Wake up. Wake up, get alert. You know, if you're sleeping, if you're in the doldrums spiritually, if you're just half in, half out, you got one foot in the kingdom, one out, you know, you need to wake up. 1 Peter 5:8 says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stay alert. Get in your prayer closet. Get prayed up. Keep your lamp full of oil, full of the Holy Spirit. You know, this is not a time to backslide. This is a time to grow closer to God. than you've ever been. I challenge you to do so. You know, that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. God doesn't want us walking afraid, but he does want us walking alert. We need to be alert. You know, and I do say this again as a challenge to you. Healing, understanding brings healing. And we need to understand what's going on in our world today so we can offer healing to others who are struggling, emotionally struggling, trying to figure out what's going on, where's God in all this, how does this all fit together with my faith. And so I want to say this to you. Not everything that happens in the world is God's will. I will say emphatically that Auschwitz was not God's will. The Holocaust was not God's will. Rwanda was not God's will. Those are things are the work of the devil. And I want to challenge you with this. Jesus implied when he taught his disciples to pray, he taught them to pray this way to the Father. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Therefore, implying the Father's will was not currently being done on earth. You know, the poor were being taken advantage of. People were being killed. People were being oppressed. You know, evil was running rampant, all over the place. And Jesus is saying, this is not my Father's will. He's implying emphatically, again, pray that my Father's will would come over the earth. And so Jesus, he warred against evil, and he's calling us to do the same as believers. And we're to pray. Pray like you've never prayed before. Pray for breakthrough. Pray that God's will would happen on the earth. Jesus came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. And so we pray that way. And so I want you to think again about this groan of Jesus that brought healing, that brought breakthrough. Romans 8:26 uses that is from that same word family, from that same root word. Romans 8:26, it says this, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Yeah. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. If you're feeling weak today, just ask the Holy Spirit for his fullness. Holy Spirit, fill us up. Fill us up. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groaning. There it is. Praise, the Holy Spirit prays for us with groaning that cannot be expressed in words. The Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. I think about, you know, Jesus said, I'm sending you another comforter, one just like me, another comforter, one like me. And Jesus groaned when he saw this person in need who is in a place of weakness and vulnerability. Jesus groaned. And Paul is telling us the Holy Spirit groans, prays for us with groaning that cannot be expressed in words that releases the healing power of God. And the word tells us that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. I guarantee you that today Jesus is praying for us, and he's even groaning in ways that are it's going to bring transformation on the earth. Have hope. A brighter day is coming. Stay close to the Lord. Know that every people all around the world are suffering in a multitude of ways, and we so need God. We so need Jesus, but there's hope. The Holy Spirit is with us. We have a Savior who loves us. We have a Father who has a plan, and we have the church here in the world. You know, I believe with all my heart that God loves you so much. He sees you. He's not after solicitation. He's not trying to solicit you for his benefit. He wants to offer you covenant love. He created you. He loves you. He loves you more than you'll ever know. And so I want to encourage you today that he is for you. The Holy Spirit is praying for us. Jesus is praying for us. The Father is praying for us and has a plan for us. In verse 36, again, we see Jesus's the way that he walks in the world, the way that he does ministry, the way that he operates was absolutely no solicitation, only covenant. And so verse 35, it says, instantly the man could hear perfectly, and his tongue was freed so he could speak plainly. And Jesus told the crowd not to tell anyone, but the more he told them not to, the more they spread the news. Jesus told the crowd not to tell anyone, but the more he told them not to, the more they spread the news. You know, incredible. You know, Jesus told them again, no solicitation. I'm not out for any type of personal gain. I'm not out to be a celebrity. I'm not out to have notoriety. I'm not out to be the hero. I just genuinely love people. That's what Jesus is saying. In the core of my being, I'm not out to get anything from you. And no more Facebook followers, no more money in my pocket, no more notoriety, no more fame, no more hype. I just love you. In a world that's gone mad after celebrity status and popularity and me and mine and what's best for me, in a world that's gone mad, Jesus steps into the middle with us, puts a stake in the ground with a sign on top. It says, no solicitation, only covenant love. Jesus is saying, hey, I'm here because I love you. I'm here. You know, he sweat as though it were great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. You think he wanted to go to the cross? But he came and he suffered and he chose to suffer because he genuinely loves you. And he genuinely loves me. No solicitation. I'm not out for the rewards. I'm doing this out of love, Jesus says. And it's incredible. And that's so how we can smile today and we can have joy today, because we serve a God who loves us. And even if we do die, now, the scriptures tell us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so we can have joy and we can celebrate. We can rejoice today because we have a God who's empowered us, who walks with us in the world by his Holy Spirit, who even groans for us. And our Jesus who's going on to prepare a place for us. This awesome Father God, Abba, who has a plan. And so we have to remember all through the ages, people have suffered, and Jesus weeps right along with his people who weep. And he cares for his people who are going through struggle. And he loves us. He so loves us. And Mark tells us again in verse 36, Jesus said no solicitation. And Jesus does something amazing here. He heals someone. And Mark says, we've been instructed in the past, in the Old Testament, to look for these signs. And here's a sign. This particular healing points to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, and his era of salvation that has come. Isaiah 35, verses 5 through 6, we see prophetic fulfillment of the book of Isaiah's promise happening real time in Mark's life, real time in this story that Mark is capturing from Jesus' life. And this is what Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6 says. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. And Mark's saying, here it is. This is that. This is that. That's what you've been reading about Isaiah. Jesus has just done it. He is Messiah. He is King. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is God in flesh. And so this is amazing. Mark reminds us, and you know, and what we have to remember is the character of God today. We have to remember who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? Here's what we can tell. He loves eyes that see. Not just physically, but also spiritually. He loves ears that hear, not just naturally, but supernaturally. And he loves mouths that speak. Mouths that speak. He wanted this man to speak naturally, and he wants us as believers to speak. Speak of the goodness of God. Share the love of God. Speak about the nature of God, who Jesus really is. His character, he is a God of love. And he cares about us, and he is going to sort things out. He's working. And so, speak. Jesus wants to give you eyes that see, ears that hear, and a mouth that can speak. And so speak of the Lord's goodness. Sing of his goodness. Share of his love. Share your testimony. Share what God has done for you. Give him thanks in this Thanksgiving season. Give him thanks, real thanks. Speak the truth of his covenant love. His promise-keeping covenant love. And I love what happens here. I know it was hard on Jesus. He was, I'm sure, very tired, worn out, exhausted, trying to tell people, just keep this quiet. And rather than keeping quiet, the story erupts. And we find in the very next chapter, 8 verses 1 and 2, it says in the Message translation, this huge crowd forms once again. Another huge crowd forms. And Jesus looks out with his compassionate heart, his covenant love on this crowd, and he just can't walk away. He just can't stop. He has to do something. And in the Message, it says, Jesus said that this crowd is breaking my heart. And I believe it with all my heart. As God looks out on America today, as God looks out on this world today, as Jesus looks out upon his creation, that his heart, this crowd is breaking my heart. He has covenant love for us, and we can rejoice in that. He's a good God. I invite you to take a few moments, if you're there with someone else, to share a prayer request. Sing a hymn or a song together, or a chorus, just worshiping God. You know, if you're there alone, you can maybe put on a CD and just spend some time worshiping along with the CD, or getting out an old hymn book and singing to the Lord. You know, he loves your worship. He loves your songs. And if you're gathered there with someone, you're gathered there with someone, and take a few moments and share prayer requests and pray for one another. If you're there alone and you have prayer requests, send them to me, tim@hopespringsonline.com, and I will pray with you and join you in prayer. And I just want to tell you today that God loves you. I want to pray for you in closing. Lord, I thank you for our church. I thank you for everyone listening. I pray for fresh fire from the Holy Spirit to fill every heart. I pray for breakthrough, God. I pray for encouragement that they would come to know your covenant love in a deeper way today, that you are pure and that you are holy and that you are better than we ever dreamed. And God, we just adore you. We worship you, Lord. I pray for courage. I pray for protection. I pray for hope. I pray for joy and laughter and just peace, the shalom of God to fill every person watching. God, we ask for cleansing over our land. We pray you drive this virus out of here, Lord. We pray your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for breakthrough, God. We pray for the strengthening of your people. God, we pray for our nation, for breakthrough in our nation. And God, I pray for your healing power for everyone who's sick today. I pray you'd refresh our friends and family, those who are helping the sick right now and serving the sick and working in healthcare. I pray for refreshing and protection and encouragement, God. And Lord, we love you, God. We love you and adore you, God. I pray, Lord, that you would draw us near to you, God, that you would keep us close to you, God, that you would fill our lamps with oil, that you would make us spiritually alert, that you'd wake us up from slumber. And we thank you for this day, Lord. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please follow us on Facebook or on our website for further updates about plans for worship in the future. We're trying to give updates week to week and what our plans are. And we're praying diligently each week and trying to make spirit led decisions. And so God bless you. The Lord loves you. Have a great Thanksgiving, you know, and let's walk in a spirit of thankfulness this week. Lord bless you. Thank you.